This is a special morning. It always is, especially for us as Christians. It's the morning. Tomorrow morning will be the morning we celebrate Jesus' birthday. This is the eve of it. But God should be celebrated in our life every day. Not just one specific day, but every day. I was praying about what I wanted to speak about today. And God was leading me. Follow up a little bit. We've been in Hebrews. We've been talking about the God of the impossible. We've talked about the birth of Isaac, which was an impossibility. We talk about all these things, how God does the impossible. And God does do the impossible. So we're going to be, as you probably figured out, we're going to be in Luke today. And I kind of asked God, I said, God, what do we want to talk about today? And sometimes we forget the first chapter of Luke, and I think it's a very important chapter, because if anybody knows what the first chapter of Luke is, everybody goes to the second chapter, right? You think of the Christmas message, you think of chapter 2. But God said, no, you need to go to the total beginning, the beginning of where God started this process. John the Baptist was a very, very important part of this process, because he was the one that prepared the path for Jesus. He talked about that. So I want to go into that. So if we can turn to chapter 2 in Luke. And I got to get my notes out here. Believe it or not, I do have some notes. I scratched them out. I'm not one of these real, you know, particular people on notes. They're just in front of me. I may not even follow them. That's happened before, too, where I write my notes down and I'll tend to ignore the notes. And we all have our own style. Pastor Rick has his own style when he gives a message. I have my own style. Everybody that ever gives a message will tell you they do it a little bit differently. John does it a little differently. Brad does it a little differently, which makes it interesting. Because that's the first thing I'm going to let you know, too. I will go off on tangents, too. I follow the rabbit every once in a while, too. You're all special in God's sight. You all have things that you can do for his service. It may be whatever it may be. And God takes you. I'm going off on a trail right now. Sorry, this is my trail. I'm going off on a trail. God has a special place for you. And he has something he wants you to do. And I want you to realize that sometimes the devil will come in and say, well, you're not good enough to do that. You can't do this. It's a walk. You come and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first and foremost thing you do. You ask God into your heart. And then it's a walk. And you're molded. Day by day. Okay, what happens is, one of these days you falter, you fail, you make a mistake, and all of a sudden, oh, God doesn't love me. Yes, he does. Because what Pastor's been talking about, and I like this, and this I really think is important. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are no longer sinners. Get that in your head. You are no longer a sin. Do you still make mistakes? Yes, but guess what? They're covered by the blood. And as soon as you know you've made a mistake, yes, you need to go ask God to forgive you and that. But guess what? It's still covered. It's already covered. You're just going to heaven. If for some reason you don't get there and you don't go ask God to forgive you that moment and you go home, it's covered. You're in heaven. So that's the difference. That's why you're not a sinner anymore. You're saved by grace. And when you do that, that's when you accept Jesus Christ. And from then on, that way you don't have to sit in fear all the time that if I make a mistake and I falter and I fail, oh no, I'm gone. No, it doesn't work that way. God takes you through. Let's go to Luke, though. I want to head off to Luke. I'll get there. I'll give you time to get there, too. Okay, Matthew, Mark, okay, we'll get there to Luke. Ah, here we go. Okay. We're going to read a little bit here. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children. This was a time, you have to understand, in this culture, of being barren or not having children was looked down upon. It was like they were not doing what was right before God. But we also read here in the Word that it says they were doing what was right in God. So you have to remember not to worry about what your neighbors think and what other people think, because that's not what's important. It's what was between you and God. Are you doing what God is calling you to do? Are you serving Him according to how God wants you to serve Him? Not according to what your neighbors think and what your everybody, because you know, we get sometimes wrapped up into that where we're worried about what the neighbors think and what the church people think and what all that. You need to be with God. You need to worry about what God has a relationship between you. Because this couple was blameless. But if you read a little bit about that culture, I'm sure there were some gossips in the background. Said, well, they must not be doing this right because they don't have children. There's something going wrong there. And, you know, I'm just telling you how I that would feel. Think, you know, I kind of like Pastor always talks about. Put yourself in their place, what they would feel like. And there were people just like you and I. They were going through this. So we find out that was there. And it says, but they had no children. When Zechariah's division was on duty, going reading on, and 8. Yes, yes. What version? I'm the NIV. What verse? Chapter, Luke 1, 8. Are we putting it up there too? That's up to you. Oh, you can if you want to. You can follow through. I'll try to not get too quick. Okay. Sometimes I've been known to get too fast, and if I do, slow me down, because I don't want to get, you know, want to lose you here. okay. We're going to be informal today. That's the first thing I was going to tell you. We're informal today. We're not going to get all wrapped up in the, you know, all this stuff. We're not going to do that. So when Zechariah's division was on duty, and the priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple and the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying out. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. This goes along with what we've been talking about, Abraham, because Elizabeth was well up in age. She was past the childbearing age. She had been barren for many years. But you know what? We serve the God of the impossible. Because some people say, well, that can't happen. It's against the laws of nature. It's against the laws. Who wrote the laws of nature? God. Who created the earth from the beginning? God. Who can make changes anytime he wants to? God. So there is no impossible. Remember that. There is no impossible. It doesn't exist. The world will try to tell you there is an impossible, but it isn't. Because we find out that Elizabeth came with child, was going to come with child. Elizabeth, you will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. I like this too, the name John. You got to realize families back then gave their kids names according to their family. Well, guess what? There was no John in this family. There was not a John. So this is kind of neat. I always like this, how God takes something that isn't and makes, because he has a special plan and a purpose. And he has a special plan and a purpose for each one of you in your life. He wants something for you to do. He wants something for you, somebody for you to reach, somebody for you to touch. So, you know, whenever the devil tells you, oh, you're worthless, you can't do anything, don't listen to that, because God has a purpose for you. It may be a kind word to somebody. It may be an uplifting thing to somebody that day. It may be something where you encourage your kids, or you may encourage a family member. That's important. It should never be looked down upon. Because sometimes we got this idea that we have to be out there. And I'm all for ministries. I'm all for missions. I'm all for all that. But guess what? Each one of you guys is a missionary. Each one of you is going to be reaching out. We have missionaries that their lives are devoted to that, and that is great, and it is a wonderful thing. But we also have each one of you. You're a missionary in your workplace. You're a missionary with your family. What kind of life do you live? And I've always said that. You know, I'm going off on my tangent again. Sorry here. But what kind of Christian are you? Are you a happy Christian? Or are you a sour Christian? Are you one of these Christians that go around with a sad face and, oh, I'm down and I can't do anything? Are you a victorious Christian? Got a smile on your face. and said, you know, I got a Savior that loves me. And he's guaranteed me, you know, we got, like I've always told people, people will look at me, we got win-win. Because we live on this life, and it may not go perfect, which I'll guarantee you it won't go perfect. You're going to have trials and tribulations and hardship. But when we go to be, where are we going to go when this life ends? We're going to go be with the Lord forever and ever. We've got that guarantee. We've got that promise. So remember that we have a win-win situation. No matter what happens on this earth, we're going to be with God in some time. And as you get older, you find out you're getting closer. You know, as I get older, I know that, realize that, you know, my life is not as long as it was. But I'm not worried about it because I know that I've got a home with Jesus and I'm going to be there. And when that time comes. So always remember that, you know, if the devil tries to attack you and get you down, just say, I'm winning. I'm an overcomer. I've got that. And then we'll go on there and we're going to read, he will be a joy and a delight to you. Verse 14. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to their Lord, their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a place prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist had a very, very important role. His role was to prepare the way for the Lord, to preach forgiveness, to preach repentance. So what is your role? God has a role for you. Each one of you have a role. And what I like about this, we've been talking about, some things don't always happen. We like to say, we live in this instantaneous society, right? Where everything's supposed to be happen right now. We turn our TV on, it's immediately there. We get on our phone, we can do anything immediately. You know, God doesn't work that way. I like to tell you he does, but he doesn't. We're finding out Elizabeth had to do what? She had to wait. What did Sarah have to do? Wait. What do we have to do sometimes? Wait. It's not always going to happen overnight. Sometimes we expect that. We expect the instantaneous. We expect the, you know, like McDonald's, you drive up through the drive up and the hamburger's right there ready for you, right? You know, sometimes it isn't. Oh, okay. But you're supposed to be. So we live in that society of the instantaneous, the supposed to be, but it doesn't always work in the world either, does it? No. We have to wait sometimes. So we realize that Elizabeth waited. And that's what I wanted to go on to. I was going to look at what we wanted to go, but we're going to read this a little bit more. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Guess what? Have any of you ever had doubt? Am I the only one that's had doubt? Guess what Zechariah has here right now? Doubt. Okay. And guess what's going to happen? We're going to find out a little bit what this doubt did. Okay. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak. His voice was taken from him. Yeah. So, you know, he's sitting there going, oh, I can't talk anymore. And God kept his voice. So, you know, we do suffer sometimes the consequences of our doubt. We may have something happen in our life because of our doubt. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love you, because God loves Zechariah. And he blessed him, and he would bless him further. Okay, I'm going down to 22 now. 23, I'm sorry. When his time of service was completed, he returned home, and his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord had done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown great favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So God had done this, and he had taken away Elizabeth's disgrace, because like I was telling you, that's kind of the culture back then, that, you know, if you were barren, people looked down upon you and thought you weren't. It's like, you know, you're serving God and doing everything you're supposed to do, and maybe somebody's going to look down upon you and say, well, he's not doing that, or they're not doing that. Don't pay attention to that. If you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're listening to his call, that's what you need to do. That's the most important thing you're going to be doing. Okay, now we're going to go on and read in verse 26, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I really believe Mary was favored by God. I believe she had a very close relationship to the Lord. And I believe she was that. What she was going to do was very special. But I always want you to remember that she was still just a human being. You know, because sometimes we get there, we lift her up beyond what Mary should be. Mary was a young girl serving the Lord, and God had favor with her. And we should always keep it at that level, if that makes sense to what I'm trying to say to you, that she was special and blessed. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing," I like this verse, it's 37, "for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be with me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is a special time. This is where God's starting the new covenant. The new covenant he set with us. Where Jesus, is God, came to earth to be our Savior and to be with us each and every day. You're going to walk through times of tribulation and trouble. They will happen to everybody. Because we live in these human bodies. And these human bodies have their frailties. They have their times when they're going to fail. We're going to have, I don't wish illness on anybody, but when we get older, we get tired, things will happen. But you know what? We have a Savior that will walk along beside us. That's the key. He walks along beside us. He's there. All you have to do is call upon him. He's there all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year. Leap year is 365 and a quarter, whatever. But he's always there. And all you got to do is call upon him. And I've known from my time when I got saved a long time ago, people back in 75, way back here. And he has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He's always been there. When I go through the struggles, I can always call upon him. And this is where this starts. It starts right here. Okay. And then we know later on it talks about John the Baptist being born and all that. We're not going to go too much into detail on that. But read chapter 1, because sometimes, like I say, we have a tendency to forget chapter 1, especially at Christmas time. We go to chapter 2, and we're going to chapter 2 here pretty quick. But you can read Mary's song, and you can read Zechariah's song. They're very good, very uplifting. So do that this on your own. You can do that on your own. But let's go into Luke 2, chapter 2. Okay. The birth of Jesus. This is a very special time. This is a time where God, and got to remember, this was planned from the beginning of time. This wasn't a last minute plan. You know how we have last minute plans? We throw together something the last minute we're going to do. You know, we're going to do this or that. But this has been planned from the beginning of time. God had it all set up. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Because you got to remember, God knows exactly what he is going to do. Because God's infinite. We're finite. If you ever know the difference, God's infinite. Time means nothing to God. Time is forever. We work in a vacuum of, time of 70 years, whatever it may be, your lifespan, maybe 80, maybe 90, whatever God gives you, maybe 100, whatever God gives you time life on this earth. And then we go home to be with him. We're finite. I have struggled dealing with infinite. I deal more with finite because that's the kind of being I am. I mean, I'm a finite being. I see things in short periods of time and all this stuff. Where God sees it in the long haul, a long stretch. So we've got to remember that. Okay. In those days, Caesar Augustus, I'm reading from chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while, which I can't remember all these names, you guys can repeat that one, was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. Now, you've got to understand this situation, too. If you read in Matthew, you'll find out that Joseph wasn't real keen at this at first. He found out that his betrothed was with child. And at first he was kind of like, what's going on? But you know what? God clarified that. God came to him and told him what was going on, because God wasn't going to leave him in a lurch. So he knew that this child was of God. And he raised, and I believe this all, he raised this child as his child, because it was his child, to teach him and train him in the ways. And you know, that we as parents, that's our job, is to train our children in the way they should go and to lift them up. And your kids will always be your kids. I don't care if they're 10 years old. I don't care if they're 40 years old. I don't care if they're 50 years old. They're your kids. They will always be your kids. And that's the way God is with us. We are always his kids. He always loves us, no matter what age we are, no matter where we're at. God loves us. In the same situation here, that Joseph loved Jesus as his own, raised him as his own, even though this situation, and I guarantee you, there was gossips back then too, that was saying all little things in the background about the birth and all this stuff and what's going on and all that. There's no different. Times haven't changed any. It's no different than what it was. But God had a plan, and God knew what was going on. That's why I say it's got to stay between you and God and not let other people control you. Because that frustrates me when I see people, and I hear this so much. Well, if that Christian did that, why do I want to be a Christian? Well, quit doing that. Don't do that. I mean, they're having their own struggles. They're having their own things with God. Don't be judgmental of them. That's not your place. You're not to be the judge. You need to serve God between you and him. You need to serve that. Don't be doing that thing of saying, well, so-and-so is, and I've heard it so many times, well, they're hypocrites. They do this and they do that. Well, we're all there at times. Any of us not been a hypocrite at time, raise your hand. I can't raise mine. I've been there. I've been a hypocrite before. But you know what? We can't use that as an excuse. And too many people do. They use that excuse of why they're not serving the Lord. Don't use that as an excuse. Don't use the excuse to walk away from the Lord. See, I'm one of these people, and this is my belief, and everybody's different. And I don't quote this. To not become a Christian, I guarantee you, you got to work at it hard. I mean, you got to really go after it. You know, you got to just, because once you accept Jesus Christ, he says he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. And he won't. Can you walk away from him? Yes. But is it hard? Yes. It's not going to be one time you miss church and all of a sudden, oh, you're not a Christian anymore. None of that. No, get away from that nonsense. You have to actually make a valid effort that you do not want to serve God, that you do not want to have anything to do with him, that you do not want to worship him, you do not want to do anything with that. And I mean, that's hard to do. So just remember that God will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Even when you make stupid, idiotic, dumb, idiotic decisions, and any one of us that hasn't made dumb, stupid decisions, I know I've made my good share over my lifetime. And we all do it thinking we're doing the right thing. What's really bad is when you do the right, you make the decision thinking you're doing the right thing. But then afterwards you realize, that wasn't a good decision. That really wasn't the right thing to do. But just remember that. Moving down to, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus is where you're at, no matter what your situation. You may be struggling right now financially, spiritually, wherever it may be. It may be relationships. Maybe you're struggling with your relationship right now, with whoever it may be. Maybe you're having family issues. Maybe you're having all those type of issues. But Jesus was born in a manger, in a lowly situation, not in a palace, not in a grand form, to be where you're at, to be on your level. So when you're struggling with these things, know that Jesus has been there, that God has been there, and he sees where you're at. And he's not looking down upon you. He's not going with his finger pointing at you and saying, oh, you horrible person. No, he's saying, come, let me pick you up. Let me build you up. Let me bring you here. I want to be close to you. What's the most important I think that God wants us to have with him is fellowship. Fellowship. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray with him. And your prayer life, that's up to you how you do your prayer life. Everybody's different in their prayer life. Some people get down on their knees. Some people walk in the woods. Some people, it may be whatever it may be, whatever your prayer life is. But the main thing is that you have one, that you're talking to God, that you're having a relationship with him. That's the most important thing. And yes, take your troubles to him. He hears them all. You stub your toe. Yeah, God knows. Take it to him. It's better than saying the other things. You could say the explicit is, but you shouldn't really do that. You should be taking it to God. You shouldn't be doing that. So take it to God. And, you know, and try not to do the human things, which we all guilty of. If I don't think anybody here is the perfect saint yet. I know I'm not. I got a long way to go. God's still molding me. He's still shaping me. And I know that I'm going to be shaped till he calls me home. But one thing's nice. I know now, whenever he calls me home, I'm ready to go. It doesn't matter. If it's tonight, if it's this afternoon, if it's tomorrow, and, you know, and we find out as we get older that it could be quicker than, you know, because a friend of mine I know, known for a long time, not here now. He passed away recently. And I'm not sure how he passed away, but it was in the middle of the night. He passed away. He's gone. 67 years old. It's not real old. But, you know, he's gone. And that can happen to any of us. There's no guarantees what tomorrow holds. But we do know the guarantee that we're going to be with him if we accept Jesus. That we will be there. And we'll be rejoicing and praising God. And I think each one of us can look forward to that time. And there were the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and whom if let me read it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about his child. And all that heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. All the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. Remember when Pastor was talking about his book? How this happened and all these great things. And how many years was it before they seen the actual ministry happen? Remember, God? Well, when did Jesus start his ministry? 30-some? Yeah. 30-some years they waited. 30-some years. We have trouble waiting till tomorrow. We have trouble waiting till the next day for something to happen. We expect it to happen immediately, but it doesn't always do that. And it's hard. I'm not going to tell you it isn't hard. It's hard waiting. It's hard waiting for that loved one to come to the Lord that you've been praying over year after year, month after month, and you haven't seen anything. Or praying for that coworker that you've been praying for, and you've been wanting to see them saved and come to know the Lord, and it seems like nothing ever happens. You talk to them, you try to witness to them, you try to lift them up, but it's not our timing. It's God's timing. It's His timing how He does it. And you be the one, you may actually never see it. It may be you planted a seed. And you may never see that, but you be somebody that follows you will see that seed develop. So plant the seed. Never quit planting a seed. Never quit telling people about the love that Jesus has for you. Because we find out that this is the start of that love. To always do that. I'm going to close with this, a word of encouragement for you. God has a special place for you. He has a special purpose for you. He wants you in His kingdom. And don't ever overlook the small things in your life. Sometimes, well, I'll be honest with you. One time I was kind of bummed. I was doing this pity party thing. I was like, well, I haven't seen anybody come to the Lord lately. I haven't seen this. And I was really getting bummed. Because, you know, I'm just like, you know, Lord, I pray. I tell people about Jesus, but I don't see anything. I don't see them come to the Lord. And I was just really getting discouraged. And he said, it's just what he told me. He said, Kim, he says, go out and do. Tell people about the Lord. Do what God calls you to do. If God calls you to give a message in front of this group of people, that's what God calls you to do. If God calls you to have a men's breakfast, and you call people in and you talk about the Lord, and you may not see anything. And you may see, you know, you may have one or two people. You may have three people. You may get discouraged. And you may do that. But he says, you're still doing my work. You're still out reaching people and touching people. So don't get discouraged. Just remember that God has something for you to do. Sometimes we do get discouraged. But just remember, you're touching somebody. Or you're touching their heart. You may not see a thing. And that can be discouraging. And I know sometimes we've got discouraged here. It's right now, like the pastor said, hoping to be running 250 people right now. And I was expecting to be running 250 people right now too. I really thought that. We're not doing it. I don't know why. It's God's plan. I believe it's going to happen. I believe we're coming into 2018. We're coming into a new year. That God's got a special plan for this church to reach out. But the key is that we're a loving family. People need a loving family. We live in a society right now where we have, I call it dysfunctionality, and it's the truth. I mean, I hate to say it. We have a lot of blended families. There's nothing wrong with a blended family. Don't think I said, oh, blended family. No, we have blended families. That's part of life. But they are families, and they're still families. And we need to hunker together. We need to, whatever that bit is, but we need to get together. We need to love each other. We need to pick each other up. And like I've always told you guys, I believe this with all my heart. If you got something going on and you need to talk to somebody, give Pastor Brad or myself or any one of the board members, give us a call. Talk to us. And you know, if I'm not available that moment, which I can't always be available, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a family. I can't be available every moment. But I'll get you somebody. I guarantee you, you will have somebody to talk to. Somebody that you can say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need to just go over this or whatever. There's going to be somebody in this family that's going to talk to you and going to help you out. And that's what it's about. It's about us going together. And another thing I want to bring up to you is don't be judgmental. Please don't be judgmental. You don't know what somebody's going through till you've walked in their shoes. I mean, you know, we want to live in this thing where, well, so-and-so should do this and so-and-so should do. We haven't been in their shoes yet. We haven't went through what they went through. We don't know. So we need to love them no matter what. And as we grow, as like Pastor was talking, as we grow, and I believe we're going to grow with all my heart, I believe that it's going to get messy. We're coming up in 2018, and you're not going to have perfect families walking through the door back there with everything in order, which there are no such thing as a perfect family. That doesn't exist. That's a mythology. That doesn't happen. That's not there. We're going to have people walking through those doors. It's going to need somebody to be their friend. It's going to need somebody that says, hey, I'm going to be there. I got your back. You always heard that term, I got your back. Well, we need people here that's going to have people's backs. That's going to be there for them when they're going through their struggles and are going through their trials and tribulations, when they're trying to get their life back in order. And do I believe in getting your life back in order? Yeah. I believe that when we need to work at it and we need to try to do the things to get our lives back in order. I mean, you know, I sometimes think, and I'm not going to be too long, much longer, but I sometimes think that we get in this mode that we tell young believers that, yeah, you can just keep doing exactly what you're doing and everything's going to change. Well, no, it's not. You're going to have to change some things in your life. You're going to have to do some things differently. But we're here to help you do those things differently. We're here to help you in a loving, kind way. And that's the key. Loving, kind way that, yeah, you may have to change some things in life, because if you keep doing the same old things, you're going to have the same old results. You know, that's kind of the way it goes in life. If you do the same thing and you do exactly the same and you wonder why it doesn't change, well, you may have to change. That's where your prayer life comes in. That's where your reading the Word comes in. Because we have a guide here that tells us how to live. We have the Word, and it tells us how to live. And it's not complicated. I get frustrated sometimes when we get theologians and all these people that tell us, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. And it's not that complicated. Love one another, key. Second, do what's right. Be a moral life, a holy life. You know what's right too. People could tell you, you know what's right. Or you know, if you go out and cheat your neighbor and take money from him and think you're right, well, you're not. That's wrong. You can't do that. You can't be dishonest in your business practices. You can't be dishonest with your work, your boss. You go to work, you need to give a day's work, whatever they require of you. You should give a full day's work. You don't want to cheat your boss. You want to be honest with your family. You want to be caring. You want to be that. I've always said if I can leave one legacy, is that I was a loving, kind person and treated people well. If I can leave that one legacy, I'll be happy when I go home to be with the Lord. That I didn't treat people shabbily. I was a man of character. I tried to do the right thing at the right time. Do I always do it perfectly? No, but I tried. I give it my best effort. And when I failed, I got back up. Because they're all going to do that. We're all going to fail. We're all going to make mistakes. You can sit and wallow and mire in it. Or you can get yourself up. Pick yourself up and go on. Today is a new day in the Lord. You can't change the past. Can't do it. And not a one of us can do it. The past is the past. But we can have a new day. And today is that new day. As we go into a new year, it's a new day. When you wake up in the morning, it's a new day. What happened yesterday, you can't change. I don't care what you do. You can't change it. But you can make today a special day in the Lord. You can make tomorrow a special day in the Lord. But only you can do it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we do have our Savior that will give us that strength to do that. And He will give us that. As we close this morning, we're going to be open up here up front for prayer. If anybody needs prayer, we always do that. There will be somebody, an elder or pastor, will be available for prayer if you need prayer. And if you want to recommit yourself to the Lord, you want to be saved this morning, you don't know the Lord, or you realize you really need Him, we're always available for that. And that will be there. And we have fellowship out there for anybody who wants to have fellowship. We like our fellowship. We like to have our food and our time together. And that's really important. Somebody says, well, you know, that's not a valuable thing. But yes, it is. It's time when we get together, you can tell people their life things and going on. Because I always told people why it's so important to go to church. Because there's times I don't want to go. I'm going to get up. I'll tell you. Well, the morning I knew I had to come. I had any choice this morning. But there are sometimes I get up in the morning on a Sunday morning, and I really, being honest with you, I don't want to go. I mean, it's, I'd rather stay home. I had a busy week. I had things go on. I had one of those weeks this last week. I'm going to quickly here. I had one of these weeks this last week where things didn't go right. Brakes on the truck went bad. I had to get those fixed. Furnace went bad. You know, I got this furnace that's supposed to be on a good furnace. I've had nothing but headaches, but it went bad this week. So I didn't know if I was going to have a furnace this week. And, you know, it's supposed to get cold. So, but they were good. I got it fixed. My guy that's good that does my furnace work, he special ordered the furnace part. It overnighted it. I'm going to pay for that dearly, but oh well, that's life. He overnighted it, but I got a furnace because it's supposed to get cold. And I really didn't want to be in a cold house. So we got the new furnace. So we have those weeks, right? You guys had those? You know, where nothing, you know, it's just like one of those, oh my, what a bad week. Well, that's why you need to be here. Because you know what? Somebody's going to encourage you. And then guess what? You may have that high-flying week where it seemed like everything went great. You know, it just seemed like it just, and guess what? You're ready for the help of the person that didn't have that week. So that's why we need to, that's why it's so important in the Bible it says, do not forsake the assembling of oneself. You need to be here. Your friends need to be here. And invite your friends. Tell them, hey, come here. We're family. We have a good time. We get real. And like I say, some people say, we get real. We talk about real life. We talk about real things. We talk about what's affecting you. But you have that person you can talk to. So remember that. Sorry, I got off on another track here. You can see why pastors do this. They get off on tracks, you know. They go down the rabbit trails, you know, and they get off on that line. But we do need to close. I know it's Christmas Eve and you guys want to be with your families. And you probably got gatherings you're going to and all those good things. So we'll close with a word of prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you we could gather this morning, Lord, that we could hear your word, Lord, and we could feel your love and your kindness and your presence. And Lord, let us take that love out into the community. Let us love one another. Let us reach those that are lost and let them know that you're there for them. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory as we go this day. In Jesus' name, amen.